Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of Western civilization and a rather severe disruption of human society in the present day, especially as we approach the 2020 elections. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also here. Bill, it's crazy times out there. It's a spirit of confusion and fear. But we as Christians should have the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind throughout it all. I just don't like this spirit of craziness where, you know, it's not love, power, and a sound mind. It's sort of hate, fear, everything else that just doesn't really contribute to anything good.
And confusion does rule. And
it
And fear adds to that. So we want some kind of inside track. We want some information that we go, oh, this explains everything.
Well, and that's what QAnon is all about.
Yes.
CNN has a front page article this morning on QAnon. If you haven't heard about it, you're doing a lot better than the rest of us. But this has got the left-wing media all upset. It's that vast right-wing conspiracy. It's a for the left, it's a conspiracy about the conspiracy. So everybody's upset. You know, you got the right that's all upset about this conspiracy, and now you've got the left-wing media concerned about the vast right-wing conspiracy about this conspiracy. You know? So everybody's all upset and confused and fearful and paranoid. And this is the zeitgeist. This is the spirit of the age right now.
Yeah. World Magazine did a cover story on it. Christianity Today has done an article on it. They interviewed Mark Sayers, who's the senior leader of the Red Church in Melbourne, Australia. He's written a book called Reappearing Church, The Hope for Renewal and the Rise of Our Post-Christian Culture. And he says it's not just a conspiracy theory. He says it's the first great internet religion.
That's really odd.
Yeah. He said it's the only one out there. And he says there are other online internet religions growing and other conspiracy theories flying around. This is just one of them. But I think there is some concern in it, end quote. And he says, if asked what it was, his explanation is this. He said, I guess my succinct explanation of what QAnon is would be that QAnon is a rapidly growing global cultural and political movement that is centered around a crowdsourced conspiracy theory. To break down the big idea or architecture of what it, really the movement centers itself around is the idea that the world is controlled and also held back by a cabal of basically elite pedophiles.
Right.
These elites are global elites ranging from a varied cast of characters from the members of the Democratic Party, the Clintons, to people like the Rothschilds, the great banking family, to various royals, to the Vatican, to members of Wall Street and celebrities.
Basically, they've added pedophilia to the typical Rothschild, Rockefeller conspiracy.
Clinton, and, you know, the guy who killed himself, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
He was part of it.
He was all tied in it.
Yeah. Yep. The QAnon theory is that all of this is being pushed back and revealed by President Trump, who's being aided by various patriots within the political world.
So generally it's a pro-Trump operation.
It tends to be.
According to March 2020 Pew survey, this is Pew Research, 76% of Americans had never heard of QAnon. Well, they redid the survey in September. It turns out 47% now have heard of QAnon. So 41% of Republicans, those who lean Republican, believe QAnon is good for the country. So it's huge.
It's
bigger than I thought. I mean, I never heard of it till this morning.
It's not just a fad, okay? And I would tend to give some credence to calling it the first internet religion.
In a series of equally cryptic follow-up posts, the originator of all of this QAnon apparently hinted that he or she was a government insider with top secret Q clearance, supposedly feeding information from inside the deep state to patriots online. Quote, here's one of the quotes, many in our government worship Satan. That's one of the dispatches. And then a few snippets of Bible verses and on it goes. So that's it. Now, whether on the right or the left, there has been increasingly a suspension of credulity in the mind of the postmodern. And this, I think, is a fundamental issue that we need to consider. Again, we come back again and again to what's happening to us. How can we better discern the times? How can we know why the phenomenon? What is it about us? What's going on in the mind of the modern, whether it be on the left or the right? And I think we as Christians need to be sensitive to these things. So whether on the left or the right of the political spectrum, society is coming apart. There is a chaos. There's an anarchy about the internet. And this kind of thing was happening during the French Revolution as well. And during the revolutions that tore apart the Republican or the Roman Republic, where everybody is willing to believe everything about everybody else on the basis of the thinnest possible thread of evidence. Remember, there's an old hag who accused Robespierre of impregnating her, and his whole political system collapsed on top of him, and he was guillotined pretty much the next day. Do you remember how fragile everything was during the French Revolution? Same thing is happening here. There's a social unraveling happening in America.
And so we want some stability, and so we want somebody to say, here's the reason behind all of this, and therefore we latch on to conspiracy theories much more easily. People tend to go down the rabbit hole, if you will. They get involved in QAnon and they go, oh, there's some thread of truth here. This resonates. And pretty soon they are immersed in it. They are consumed by it. And I'm going to say it's much like Gnosticism. This is secret knowledge that not everyone has access. And therefore I am
one of the privileged.
One of the privileged few. I am edumacated.
But also in terms of the epistemology of it, I get that. I get the psychological element.
Right.
When I'm talking about the epistemological element of it, there is a skepticism and a suspension of credulity that's happening at the same time. And this is what happens when you abandon truth, that is God's word.
That's the
point.
When
God's word is abandoned, you're abandoned to believing anything.
Yeah.
That's a suspension of credulity. Or not believing anything, that's skepticism. And that's where we're headed as a society, friends. There's both skepticism and a suspension of credulity that's happening at the very same time. There's high skepticism everywhere, but there's also this almost immediate impulse to accept whatever outrageous news shows up via Facebook or Twitter, just like that. Some faceless troll gets to be prosecuting attorney, judge, and jury to trash just about anybody's reputation these days. And almost everybody will believe them. What's the deal with that? The winds of popular support are blowing every which way, and nobody is safe now. This is what happens when society is unraveling and there is no longer a social stability. And ultimately, this is what happens when God brings a society down. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We've seen a vast destruction of morality at every level in society today. You name it, we have committed every abomination, and we have fast-tracked it, and we have wholesaled it, and we have given approval on the part of the Supreme Court of the United States for every single aspect of these perversions. And here we are, wondering why the judgment of God is coming upon a nation. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And friends, as society is breaking down, as we're seeing the increase in chaos, disorder, division in society, and as I said, an increase in this skepticism and the impulse to accept whatever outrageous news shows up on Facebook or Twitter, as we see this phenomenon, how then should we live? How should we react to this? Christians, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. But what does that mean? That means we meditate in the law of God day and night. That means we don't sit in the seat of the scoffer. That means that the truth of God's word is our primary focus and meditation. You see, whatsoever things are true, logimazo on these things, that is, meditate and focus upon these things. Christians are addicted to the truth. Christians are always saying, we buy the truth. Christians are saying, thy word is truth, and I will spend most of my time in this truth rather than all of the diversions. And by the way, you could just sit there on Facebook all day. I went to Facebook for the first time in about a year yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think I've been on it.
Don't do it. Yeah. It's the most worthless thing in the whole world. To just sit there and scroll and scroll and scroll.
It's navel gazing.
It's just, wow. There are so many inputs. The point is, there are tens of millions of inputs on the internet, everywhere else. You can chase down any rabbit hole. You say one rabbit hole? No. Bill, there are tens of millions of rabbit holes. You can go down every single rabbit hole if you want to. But friends, as far as a Christian is concerned, he is in the Word of God. He meditates on God's Word night and day. This is the only safety for us. This is it. We will root ourselves in God's word. Be very careful with Christian people who are not rooted in God's word. Right now, be careful. And they barely glance at the word of God on a Monday morning. They barely hear the word of God on a Sunday morning. And then the rest of Sunday, they run over their conspiracies, their half-baked opinions and surmisings and all these other worldviews. No. The Christian is rooted in God's word. And of course, he approaches the world with love, power, and a sound mind.
And it doesn't get involved in meaningless quarrels and useless information. And that's what Q puts out. They put out things called drops, which are leaky bits of information about things that could happen. They claim to have, this guy claims to have insight and knowledge.
Keyword,
again,
could.
Yeah, and knowledge, Gnosticism, about what's happening in the White House and also in the world. So it's just... There's this seductiveness about it because we want to be in control, and when we're not, we become anxious.
And
we need to look to God, who is sovereign and who is in control, and put our trust in Him.
We absolutely must be careful not to give way to this inclination towards, I need to know the future. I need to know the future. By the way, people typically go to clairvoyance to know the future. Before you know it, they're going to palm readers, or they might just go to Q. But they're always looking for that futuristic prophecy, and they love to get these futuristic guesses, but they focus upon these specific futuristic prognostications. And friends, that is just one more way to open yourselves up to all of the demonic distractions of the day. So be very, very careful that you root yourself in God's word as a primary focus and a mode of meditation. Be very careful about the questionable and the quarrelsome at times like these. As Bill just mentioned, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. And to keep asking yourself, is this a doubtful thing? Is this a doubtful thing? Is this a doubtful thing? You have two or three witnesses here, and what do the witnesses look like? Are they anonymous witnesses, or are they true witnesses? And First Timothy chapter 6, if anyone teaches otherwise, does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, that is, a doctrine that yields worship and praise and thanksgiving. If that doesn't happen, if that doesn't come out of the conversation, you're just talking ad nauseum about what man is doing and what man could do and what man did. And, well, if that be the case, then you're obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. That is, get away from those conversations as quickly as possible. And on it goes. 1 Timothy 1:3 also warns us about the same thing. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So the Bible has so much to say about these traps, these conversations that lead to the wrong ends. Also, the endless search for man-based, government-based conspiracies is a demonic trick. It's just diversionary. If you don't end the conspiracies with a conclusion, hey, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces in heavenly places. If you don't end there, if you don't end with that, then you're being diverted from the real enemy, the enemy of our souls. The real conspiracy happens when you're tempted to do porn, when you're tempted to get angry with your wife, when you come to the point when you love the world more than you love Christ and his brothers and sisters in the church. That's the real conspiracy. I mean, come on, bring it back down to the devil. He's the conspirator.
When you're seduced into meditating on QAnon rather than on the Word of God.
There you go. Now, here, Bill, I was thinking, for the sake of argument, let's say it really happened. Let's say all the conspiracies really happened. Let's just play this out, okay?
Okay.
You and I will play this out. Okay, so it really happened. LBJ really hired Lee Harvey Oswald to knock out JFK. Trump or Obama organized a sex ring with kids, or maybe both of them did it together. Let's just, for sake of argument, I'm not saying it happened, and don't you ever quote me that. I just say, you know, okay, so the conspiracy happened. Denver International Airport is the headquarters of the New World Order.
Yeah.
Okay, it really is.
Yeah.
There's a New World Order going on underneath DIA.
Right.
And by the way, the word's on the street on that one, too. The Rockefellers brought COVID-19 to the world. They did it. And with a little help from the other guy.
Okay. I'm in on all these.
Okay.
I'm in.
George W. Bush knew all about 9/11 before it happened.
Before it happened.
Boom. So what?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do about that? What else is new? Fallen man's doing evil things. Big surprise. I'm really surprised. What? Depraved, fallen man with access to power does bad things? Whoa. That's the first time that's happened in the history of the world.
The end of the matter.
I'm just shocked.
The end of the matter is this: fear God and obey his commands.
Amen. Well, let's, again, follow this through. The Roman emperors did this kind of stuff all the time. So this is no big deal when it comes to world history. By the way, just read my book, Preparing the World for Jesus. It's ninth grade, but it's a fun read aloud about all the empires that occurred before the coming of Christ. And you'll find this is what they did every day. I mean, this wasn't like once every 10 years. They did this every day. This is what Roman emperors were doing constantly. Okay, the Roman Empire was nonstop treachery. Okay, now would it surprise you, Bill, if, I don't know, a president organized a sex ring? Would it surprise you, a nation that kills 7 million babies a year, and they might, you know, knock off a few politicians on occasion? Does that surprise you? They already kill 7 million babies. Would it shock you that they're knocking off somebody? I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying, would it shock you that they did it? Not one bit. Or a nation that breaks the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment every day, all the time, by public policy, would break the seventh commandment in relations with underage children. Would that shock you? Not one bit. So why do we get all wrapped up in conspiracies? That's my question. I think what it is sometimes we want to focus on what evil men are doing. Now, what about the hand of God over all of our empires, raising up kings, bringing kings down? The most evil conspiracy of all occurred when the Romans and the Jews ganged up against the Son of God and crucified him. That was a conspiracy. That was the most demonic. That was the most wicked conspiracy of all time. But the Apostle Peter doesn't focus on what man did. He's rather excited with what God did through that, that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, and God is bringing something about through this. Jesus being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, you crucified and put to death, but God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So there you get, you know, what's God doing? This focus on what man is doing, that's humanistic. This constant focus on the evil things that men are doing. Let's focus in upon the evil things men do. Well, what about what God's doing? And what about the good things that God is bringing about throughout world history in the process? We're not even thinking about that. We're not considering that. Why? Because it's a humanistic way to focus in upon the conspiracies. Now you say, well, I want to elect righteous men who aren't flaming hypocrites. Maybe that's what, you know, exploring the conspiracies, identifying who all the bad congressmen are and all the rest. Well, yeah, I think we all want to elect righteous men who aren't flaming hypocrites. But why don't we start in the churches? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we started in the churches? So many of the churches are filled with pastors that are bogged down in scandals. How can we expect our politicians to be any better than our pastors? You follow me there?
Yeah.
So we're back to, what are we back to? So again, I'm following this through. You see, we're assuming that all the conspiracies happened, and yes, turns out all of our leaders were wicked. Well, what does this lead us to? Well, I guess we're going to need to repent. We need revival in the churches. We need a national repentance and revival, and that's going to begin in the church. Isn't that what we've been saying for the last 10 years?
Reminds me of that famous song, you know, "Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His wonder and grace."
Exactly. Where's your focus? That's the question. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? So why do we get all wrapped up in conspiracies, guys, when the real problem is the devil tempting our families and your marriage is in trouble, your daughters need discipleship in God's word? It's also a form of blame shifting. Shifting the focus from my sin and your sin and the nation's sin to one particular scapegoat.
The devil made me do it.
Oh, yeah. You know, this one bad guy to blame for all the bad stuff in the world. Is that simplistic or what?
Yeah.
That's just too simplistic.
Well, all I need to do is look in the mirror.
And here's the other thing. People think, okay, if I could just be the guy who figures it all out and brings perfect justice to the world. Oh, wait, that's not your job. That's not your job. Isn't God still in the heavens? Isn't he going to bring every work into judgment? Don't the eyes of the Lord survey the world, beholding the evil and the good? What about that? And what am I supposed to do once I figure out that the politician is running a sex ring? What about all the other politicians who are shacking up with their girlfriends and aborting their babies and cheating on their wives? What am I supposed to do with all that? See, here's the deal. The Bible calls us, number one, to be responsible for our own families, our own situation, our own jobs. He doesn't call us to clean up the whole world. That's not my calling. Now, it's fun to be the guy in the basement, you know, the troll just working it all on his computer, fixing the world's problems by trolling. Okay, that could be fun, but that's not my calling. Here's another thing. The Bible calls for an equal treatment in justice, not the preference of persons. So I might be going after a particular politician for involvement in a particular sin, but what about all these other politicians? The Bible calls for equal treatment in justice and no preference of persons. The Bible also calls us to rightly distinguish between logs and specks on the basis of God's law, not man's opinion or on the basis of what's the most politically unpopular sin of the day, which happens to be child molestation at this point. But the Bible actually says there's more to the law of God than that, so take it all into account. You know, it's the whole law of God, so let's make sure we're rooted in God's truth on this. The Bible also calls for us to focus on ourselves first. As I already mentioned, take the log out of your own eye first. And seek the salvation of Jesus for yourself, because Jesus came to save us from our sins. And then here, fourthly, the Bible calls for truth. For truth. And Bill, again, truth has got to be a commitment on our part, that we're not like, oh, Bill, I heard a troll. He said, I think that, Joe Schmo is a big fat liar. Well, how do I know that's true? The Bible calls for truth established in the court of law on the basis of 2 to 3 eyewitnesses. The Bible calls for us not to hide and do these things in a corner anonymously. By keeping things anonymous, people are avoiding accountability. That's what the whole anonymous guy is. You see, what's convenient about him is nobody ever holds his feet to the fire. He's anonymous. You know, He can't be held to account for the things that he's saying. The Bible doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't present the Jesus or John the Baptist or the apostles, you know, typing from the basement from an anonymous typewriter because he doesn't want the Roman authorities to know what he's saying. These things aren't done in a corner. They're not preached in a corner. No, the word of God is shouted from the housetop. Jesus tells us that he wants us to shout these things from the housetop. We need to be out in public. Secret societies keep things in the darkness because they don't trust God to take care of things and that he's going to bring every work into judgment. They think of themselves as the standard of righteousness. They turn out to be just as evil as the rest of them because they weren't sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. And those things that are done in darkness are to be suspect, not just the politicians in Washington who may or may not be doing something in darkness. But what about the QAnon guy who's doing stuff in darkness? The Bible calls us into the light on these things, my friends. The Bible also calls us to trust God to bring justice to every situation. Even if we don't have the evidence, the omniscience, and the power to do it, God does. We don't want to pretend that we can be super justice warriors that can bring perfect justice to the world. And finally, the Bible calls us to focus on the things that are certain, not things that are questionable, dwelling constantly on the fuzzy pictures of the Loch Ness Monster and the Bigfoot. You know the folks that tend to do this, Bill? They just get enamored by this fuzzy little questionable issue that may or may not be true, but boy, they sure believe it's true. And they're willing to argue this case for this rather questionable issue.
I think a Bigfoot would be rather insulted. You just called him a fuzzy little issue.
Well, have you seen the pictures?
They're always fuzzy.
They're always fuzzy. Of course they're fuzzy. The ungodly are always fixated and obsessing on these things, but no, scriptures call us to dwell on the truth. The truth, the things we know to be truth, as communicated to us in scripture, that is the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago, his resurrection 1,990 years ago. The truth of everything God has revealed to us in scripture. That, my friends, is what we speak. That's what we believe. That's what we fixate on. We fixate on the truth of God's word, first and foremost. And then, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is certain about the other natural revelation, the events that occur around us. All right. Well, our commitment to the truth should yield a reticence for us to run after every single theory that's presented to us by Facebook, Twitter, or on the dark internet as well. Friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like to interact with this program, simply email me at host@kevinswanson.com. I would encourage you to consider just spending more time in the Word of God as a family. I'd encourage you to our Proverbs Bible study guides, our Psalms Bible study guides, our Bible study guides now on Matthew and John and Genesis. All of those are available at our website. Now, these are the things we should be talking about. We actually have relevant questions concerning God's Word as applied to our current situation in all of these guides. And I encourage you to use these as great conversation pieces around the dinner table. As you study God's Word with your family, they are called Family Bible Study Guides, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.